surplus property out.
Good morning, Commissioners. Thank you, Laurel. Annually, we come to the board with surplus property. These are tax foreclosed properties under Oregon revised statute. Properties that are valued over $15,000 are required to go into an oral public auction. That auction we're holding in May. And I think you're all aware of what the foreclosure process. It's a six-year process. It's 3 years of back taxes and arrears. Then it goes into a two-year redemption period. At the end of that two-year redemption, if there's no remedy to that, the assessor will foreclose on those properties, and then when the deed is transferred to in the name of the county, those properties are then transferred to Business and Community Services or Property Disposition Division. To manage and administrate those properties, we have two options. We could make those properties available to other taxing districts through a transfer process, or put them up for sale with your approval and recommendation of declaration of surplus. We have offered these properties to the other taxing districts. There were no takers to these properties. So under Oregon Revised Statute 275, we will put these properties into public auction. All properties are sold as is. We do make our best efforts to fully understand those properties. As we've discussed in previous sessions, we have a criteria by which we set the estimated value of those properties for bid purposes. Those properties that are of high value and unique will get those appraised, and we'll put those properties in at the appraised value. If there are no questions to that, I'm going to have Lindsay Wild, who is our property agent specialist, go through the properties that we're presenting to you for your approval of surplus.
We usually have a PowerPoint presentation, so just bear with me. The item number one on our list, we just got the appraisal back in on that property yesterday, and it came in at $71,000. The home is inhabitable at this time. There's a basement with that home, and it's been vacant for so long that the electricity hasn't been turned on and the sub pump hasn't been working. So when we got the property, there's about 5 feet of standing water in the basement. With that, and it closed
up. So it
up.
Has a swimming pool.
That's $150,000 right there.
Right. Well, that indoor swimming pool caused black mold to grow in the entire house. And so it's a tear down. Yeah, we had a phase one environmental study done on it, and it's completely inhabitable. So basically just land value at the time. And that's what we're going to be taking it to auction for. Somebody, whoever comes in and purchases it, has to demo the house. Yep, mm-hmm. Take it to the special dump yards and things like that. So, okay. Item number two is a home in Wilsonville. It's in pretty good shape. It's been maintained. Currently, there is somebody in there. I am trying to still work out an option with them to redeem it. We have another week or so. So if we can do it, great. The cost to redeem it is right over $40,000. So we're hoping that she can do that. If not, then we'll be taking it to auction. The appraised value on that house just came in at $374,000. Yes, sir.
A question on that.
Yes.
Is that, if it's in good shape, is that a piece of property that might be worth keeping for low-income housing?
Well, we can definitely talk about it. It is near services. There's a school nearby. And
put it into our housing.
Well, that one has no water, no sewer, so it must be a well.
A lot. And I'm not sure. It's in the city of Wilsonville, so but services were not available to see from what I could see. So
I mean, so. I think it would be worth considering.
Right.
One more piece of property that we might be able to put a few folks in, and
just
it works. It works. If it doesn't work, okay.
Just for full disclosure, the property that Lindsay just mentioned, the first property.
Right, the teardown.
That has been, you all know Paul Edgar. He expressed interest in that property for the Kennedy School. But Lindsay, through emails, communication.
You mean Fort Kennedy?
Yes, Fort Kennedy.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm sorry, did I say Kennedy School?
Yes, you were thinking about McMenamins.
Yeah. But because of its uninhabitable, they can't go in. They were thinking they could go in and fix that up, but it can't.
No,
but they still might be interested in acquiring the property to construct
something
mm-hmm. there. Mm-hmm. So that might fit.
That's still an auction, kind of thing.
We would transfer it to them through as a nonprofit through 271-330 or as 271-330. They wouldn't have to pay anything. It would be a nonprofit transfer.
That's not a bad idea.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. So I'm just making sure I'm following along correctly because I'm hearing different numbers. That's when you talked about Wilsonville, you said 374,000,
mm-hmm.
and this has 413,000.
That's the assessor's value, and we had an appraisal done on it. And because initially we were coming to you guys next week, and these would have been more complete, but we
The other one is very close to 374.
Right.
So I was just confused. I want to make sure I'm tracking what information you're providing.
I was confused. Okay, which property? What are we talking about here?
So sometimes, you know, we generally start with the assessor's estimate of value, and then if they're not good properties, we don't get those, you know, get on current market appraisal. So we do a percentage off on what the assessor's value is. But in this case, because it is a high-value property, we did get it appraised.
So is it one or two? Can you just go through the
numbers? Item number one, the inhabitable property, the appraisal came in for land value only at $71,000.
So that's number one.
Number two, the appraisal came in at $374,000.
My only point was to look at these properties from the point of view of what is there a way we can use them for some form of low income housing or
we already agreed on that.
Yeah, we're all going to do that.
Yeah, we're good.
That's great. Yeah. And I did send these assets already over to like H3S and all of those entities, and none of them replied saying that they wanted to look at them. We can definitely reach out again, but they would.
So they need to be on the call.
Well, I need to give you an answer and as to why not.
Maybe it doesn't fit in their marketing strategy. Maybe, who knows?
Lindsay puts together a flyer and has a description that all go to all the districts.
I'm just saying, when you put something out there, especially if it's to a department in this county, that's a county department, you have every right to expect an answer. And I don't think it's acceptable that you don't get an answer.
Oh, I understand what you're saying.
That's where I'm coming from.
I got you.
And if they have good reasons for not doing it, that's fine. And you can say, we checked it out. These are the reasons why they can't do it. We're good to go. But to send something out and then not get an answer is rude, as far as I'm concerned, and inappropriate.
If they were interested in a property, there's a form that they fill out that expresses their interest. This board, you the board, still has the right of refusal or acceptance, because we come back and say, you know, the housing authority has requested transfer of this. So the fact that they're not communicating back to us has not been our process. The way that we know that there has been interest is the alternative of that, where they submit a request form, and then they have to provide us how it fits into their master plan or strategic plan or some other guiding document. If it's the case of a city like West Lynn, it would fit into the neighborhood plan. So there is, when we do get the acknowledgement back that they're interested, we know the whys, but we don't know the not why.
So what I wanted to say, I've been doing these for 8 years. Jim's been doing it a little longer, and I know our staff that are in charge of this take virtually every measure. I think they do outstanding work and vet these things all out. And typically, and Martha knows this as well too, they've explored every opportunity. So I want to mention that, number one, we need to trust that they've done all these things, but the same questions and concerns come up every time, and it's just deja vu every time. And I just want to at least convey my confidence that they have done quite a bit of the things that we would naturally think of, because they've been at this a long time. And this doesn't happen overnight. These are long processes where a lot of opportunity or people interest look at these things. And so this is not something that just came up yesterday. That's on our table today.
Didn't mean to suggest that it was. What I'm coming from is we're sitting here now, you know, recognizing that we have a housing crisis. Maybe 5 years ago we didn't have much of a housing crisis. It wasn't, at least it wasn't at the top of everybody's current agenda. But it certainly is today, and so it's, that's why I raised the question, that's all.
Right.
Okay, you've got to move. I got a call at 11.
Conference call. So, I mean, we're good with Jack doing what he needs to do.
Can we just go down the rest of the list and hear about the other ones real quick?
Yeah, absolutely. So, item number three, these are two vacant lots in Oregon City. I don't know if they can be developed. They're kind of in a wet area, but before I can even offer them to the neighbors to purchase to have a bigger backyard, we have to take them through auction because they're the value of them. Anything valued $15,000 or more, statutorily, we have to go through auction. So that's why they're on this list.
Yep. Okay.
And then item number four is a basically a way station. It's not even, it doesn't even have its own tax lot. It's an accessory building. So it's an office with scales right outside of it. So again, we have to take it through auction before we can offer it to.
And I should point out that auction is almost like a clearinghouse for us. You know, we don't sell a lot of properties through auction. You know, people are looking for screening deals. But what it does give us after it clears auction, if it doesn't sell at auction, the statute allows us to market or sell or do anything we want to with these properties, and we can have private negotiations with, you know, the, you know, a nonprofit or back to any of the other departments of the county. But so the first requirement by statute is that we have to go to auction.
Okay.
Thank you.
So we use that as kind of clearing waivers, if you will, to make a sports analogy. Once it, you know, goes through the one auction, we're done. We don't have to go back to auction again.
Can we put our nuclear waste there?
No.
Okay.
No. No, we may not.
So, I'm good with option one. I'll go ahead and make a motion.
Okay.
Okay.
Second.
Option one is?
To dispose of the surplus property.
As recommended.
As recommended. Yeah.
Yay. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Hearing none, motion carries.
Thank you, Commissioner.
Thank you.